I'm Alexia Ridley with Athens News Matters, a show dedicated to local news, current events, and community outreach efforts. Today, my guests are candidates running for Athens-Clarke County Commission District 9. They discuss why they're running, unique challenges facing their district, and their plans to address concerns. All that and much more next on Athens News Matters. Hello, I'm Alexia Ridley, host of Athens News Matters. My guests today are Ovita Thornton and Tommy Valentine. So welcome both of you to the show.
Thank you for having us.
And I want to start first with why you are running. So I want each of you first tell me a little bit about your background, how you got to this point. And I'll start with you first, Ms. Ovita Thornton.
Thank you. How did I get started? I started really accidentally. Never thought that politics was a way of life. Early on, I was very involved with education issues. And what I find, education is very politically connected. And for the changes that I thought needed to happen, it kind of meant that I had to develop those relationships, those experiences, and meeting those people to make systemic changes. So I would say I probably started about 40 years ago, but I'm still active today.
And Mr. Tommy Valentine, you, why are you running?
Well, I'm probably not so different from a lot of the people that are listening to this show right now. I look around and I feel like Athens-Clarke County has a political establishment that doesn't really listen very well to the people and the people's concerns. And I felt that it was time to have some fresh faces and some bold progressive ideas. I've been in Athens since I was 5 years old. I learned to read here. I met my wife here about 11 weeks ago. We had a newborn born at St. Mary's.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I've been inspired by public servants like Ovita here who have championed the idea that regular people need to get involved, that young people need to get involved, and that it's time to make a difference for the people of Athens, especially when it comes to poverty and discrimination.
And so you've had a long time here in Athens. How did you get to this point to decide, hey, you're going to throw your hat in the ring?
Right. Well, 10 years ago, I was living in District 9 on Child Street when around the corner the Obama headquarters opened in 2008. And it was through that experience. At the time, I was a college dropout. I was a hip-hop artist here in Athens. And it was through walking through the doors there, meeting Gwen Olooney, finding political mentors, working on campaigns, that I felt empowered to join the process. Over the last 10 years, I've become increasingly convinced that it's time that more of us not only help on campaigns, but that we run campaigns of our own, because there are just so many people ignored. Every day I talk to someone in my district who says it's been 20, 30 years since they've spoken to a candidate in their neighborhood. And so when we talk about poverty and discrimination in Athens, I think that this just really felt like the year that more of us had to step up and take that head on.
And tell me why you're running for this seat, Ovita.
I'm running not just because I was asked. I did a lot of thoughtful meditation and praying about this. I actually talked to Tommy for about 3 hours one day. But it was good. It was good. But I still did not make a decision because even though I've been in Athens in the same house for about 35 years, what I found that district is, our district is huge. Mm-hmm. It is huge. And what I have found that part of our district is pretty well kept. It's very charming. That's the word I'm using now. And but some parts of our district, according to Ms. Lacey Johnson, is almost like we're stepchildren. The farther north you go, you almost kind of drop off the face of Athens. There's no recreation centers out there. We recently got bus transportation out there. We still have streets that are not paved. Lighting still becomes an issue. Broadband, I take that for granted, just picking up my phone, being able to Google something. Broadband is not accessible. So talking to people, I wonder how did we get disconnected from the rest of Athens? The last big fight that we had in Athens was to get a fire station. And that was a fight. Why would you have to fight for a fire station? The next big fight was water lines. Well, water lines are out there, but they're not connected. So some of it is, I think, when people expect their elected official to step up and do some of this advocating for them, for some reason, that is not always the case. So I've decided to end out my bunch of years in public service to make some changes, or try to. But from my community organizing background, that's where I come from. I know that you have to have boots on the ground, and then you have to have elected officials that can set policy and make decisions. And that's why I'm running, because you need the outside and the inside, but you got to make sure that the people on the inside understand what the folk on the outside are saying.
Well, you listed several items that you would like to address. Is there one in particular, or one or two in particular, that you consider priorities?
The one that I think is a priority, and I didn't mention it, was to develop or organize what I would call 100 ambassadors. We've done that with our campaign. But as the issues became so big, I'm like, I can't do this by myself. So what my platform is built on is organizing folk to be involved on whatever level they want to be. They don't have to come to the commission meeting. They don't have to do a survey. But we need to have a network where people are informed on a regular basis to give input about their community and know what local government is. The only time I'm on the school board now. I've been on the school board now going on 16 years. And God forbid, I love the school board. But most of the time when people come and speak before the school board, it's about a problem. It's not, oh, everything is going good. Guess what? I think that's the same thing that happens at commission meetings. We need people to be proactive, to be responsive, and be engaged. That's the primary. If I could do that, I can move on, because it won't matter who the elected official is. They will be accountable to the people.
And Tommy, I want to ask you that. It's kind of two questions in one. One, what are some of your concerns in the district, and also what you consider a priority?
Right. Well, so a lot of your listeners who are tuning in may or may not know the history of Athens. And it's really important to understand how deeply tied discrimination and poverty are to the history of Athens. The year before the Civil War, Athens was 50% slave. And in the years that followed after emancipation, a lot of those families stayed, and barriers were strategically put up to keep them out of the middle class. So we have a community where racial discrimination ensures the prevention of an African-American middle class. We are the poorest college town in America. And that's because we have about 40% of the population in poverty, only 4% unemployed. So we have working poverty. When I think about that for a moment, 4 out of 10 in poverty, but only 4 out of 100 not working.
Those numbers don't seem to add up.
They don't seem to add up. And so our campaign slogan is opportunity and justice for all. And that's our priority. We want an Athens where when you wake up, you have an equal right, no matter your race, no matter your age, no matter your gender, no matter your orientation or identity, no matter your immigration status. We want you to wake up in Athens and have access to opportunity and justice for all. So our priority is to take on poverty and to take it on through discrimination. I would say that we have three primary priorities here. The first is going back to an idea that we fought tooth and nail. Actually, it was a fight that Ovita and I were on the same side of back in 2016, which was the fight for a civil rights committee. And we almost got one, but we didn't. And we need to have a permanent municipal civil rights committee that watches out for discrimination here in Athens, Georgia. The second priority that we want to fight for is fair, free transit. So just like the students at University of Georgia get to ride around on buses just flashing an ID, we know that the fare boxes in those buses aren't contributing very much to the operations of the bus. We want to take that fare box out, and we want to take that bill off the backs of the people in this community that are having to pay $3 every time they go to the grocery store or a PTA meeting or to work, let alone try to go to school. So we think that's one tangible bill that UGA can take, or that Athens can take off the back of our citizens. And then the third one comes down to criminal justice reform. We want to see marijuana decriminalization, not just for recreational reasons, but because it's a policy that's enforced unfairly, predominantly against people of color. And once they get that scarlet F, once they get that felony, they can be denied access to jobs, they can be denied access to housing, they can even be denied access to the same student loans that enabled me to go to college. So we think that if we take those three steps first, that'll enable a fairer Athens.
You're speaking about things that that in Athens, with that 40% poverty rate, that is astounding,
right,
considering, as you said, how low unemployment is in this area. When you consider those steps, do you think that these are actually feasible steps that can be put into place and we would see a difference in our community?
Yes. My background started in activism and community organizing, but over time, I earned a master's in public administration and policy. I'm actually a PhD student in public administration and policy. And I'm here to tell any of the listeners tuning in that policy created these problems. Government created these problems. So government has a hand in fixing them. You know, we can see just since the New Deal, the way that policy created wealth for white Americans. It's time that those same policies go into other neighborhoods, to people that don't look like me, and make sure that they have access to equal opportunity. We know it's possible because we're the poorest college town in America. That means every other college town in America is doing it better. So we need to look for what's worked elsewhere, bring it here, and get people back to a quality of life that they deserve.
So basically helping people pull themselves up by their own bootstraps.
Yeah, I like to think of it as we already have people pulling on those bootstraps as hard as they can every day. I mean, Ovita and I probably know a dozen people that are going to work, working two or three jobs that just can't put food on the table. There's no more bootstrap leather left to pull. Huh. I want to pull the barriers out of the way that have been put in their way so that that work, that 40 hours a week they're already working, can be done at a job that's paying a living wage.
And let me ask you, Ovita, about that 40% poverty rate. Obviously, that's an incredible stat for Athens to have, incredibly negative. What do you see as maybe some of the ways to kind of address it? And we hear it all the time. Oh, my grandfather did this. He pulled himself up. But there were benefits in place for a lot of people. Well, a lot of Europeans, not necessarily a lot of people who were non-white. What would you suggest to help address the poverty rate in Athens to level that playing field?
You know, everybody talks about the poverty rate. Every panel, every discussion that I have, every panel that Tommy and I have been on, mm-hmm, I say the will. This is not rocket science stuff. This is not rocket science stuff. We act like we do not know how to end poverty. Mm-hmm. We act like the victims of poverty chose that. They just woke up one day and said, I just want to stay in poverty. He talked about decriminalizing marijuana. I think that is important. I would like to work with our police department, sheriff department, our judicial system locally to ban the box. I would like to look at expungement programs. They've mm-hmm done it in LaGrange, Georgia. I would like to remove those barriers from keeping some good people who probably made a mistake in their lives and they got a check on an employment application. They were incarcerated. Mm. Their application doesn't even get for the interview. Those are the ones that you see standing around, but they tried and they don't even know why they can't move ahead. So that would be part of my idea about criminal justice reform. I would like for us to stop using it as an excuse. We have that whole industrial park out there. We got major industry out there. And by the time I do my research, and I believe it was in the Envision report, most of the people who work out there don't live in Clark County. they live in the surrounding counties. So then when you ask, they say, oh, we can't find folk here that have the soft skills and cannot pass a drug test. Well, maybe decriminalizing marijuana might help that part. But if you know that is the problem, let's get to the root of the problem instead of letting that continually to be an excuse. The last thing I would like to see is, there's a bunch of things I want to say, and this is only a four-year term. There's a lot of things I want to say. But the last thing I would see, a better use of our resources. I don't know about how often people travel North Avenue since they have the arch there and the homeless. Bigger Visions does a great job. Great job. Thank God for them. I would like for, if there's any dollars allocated to any of these programs, I would like to ensure that they are working together, not just doing their little part. Because if you go, this is a nice day, the sun is out. If you go on North Avenue, it looks like a picnic. We should be having programs for these people during the day. They should be offered some type of job training. It looks like we have dumped our most fragile people who are homeless and have mental illness in the middle of North Avenue sometimes. So I just would like for us to work more collaboratively together and make sure we identify and work with those folk that need our services the most.
We did talk about that high poverty rate, but that also means so many children, the majority of children in Athens-Clarke County Public Schools are also struggling. And what sort of impact is that having on our community, and how would each of you try to kind of address that to help them maybe not start so far behind other students? And I know commissioner cannot do everything. One commissioner cannot do everything. Nope. You know, great minds are working on it, but, you know, something is not clicking.
So one thing I just want to jump in and say based on something very interesting you said a moment ago about European descent, you know. So one of the things I think about a lot in my campaign is that if my great-grandfather were to be walking around my district and see one of my yard signs, he wouldn't know I was his relative because he came to this country as Valentino. And at some point, due to the same kind of anti-immigrant fear we see nowadays, it became Valentine. And that was a choice that his family and my family was able to make. But if you're a person of color, if you're somebody who has a different identity or orientation, you don't get to decide who you are, what you look like. You don't get to change that part. So that's an opportunity and privilege that my background had. And when you're talking about the children in our school systems, that's basically what we're back to. We're back to talking about opportunities. My wife's a school teacher at Chase Street Elementary, and I know that she and every other school teacher she knows throughout the county keeps a food drawer, because there are so many kids in our community that aren't eating, that are coming in after the weekend where they had no food to eat, or that they need food to take home. And so the elimination of childhood hunger has to be a top priority here in Athens-Clarke County. In addition, I will say that my wife and I are both working full-time jobs, and if we didn't have grandparents nearby to help take care of Nora, our newborn, I don't know how we'd do it, because I look at how much daycare costs, and in some cases it would make more sense for one of us to stop working. So there's been a call for citywide pre-K. There's been a call for citywide childcare. I think for so many people, especially single parents that are facing an educational system that doesn't always have a way for them to plug in, I think that access to childcare is really essential. I went to school here in Athens. I'm a Gaines Hillsman Cedar kid, and I am very proud of our school district. But since so many of our children are experiencing food insecurity and poverty, we have to feed them. We have to make sure there's childcare available, and we have to make sure that we're setting up a school environment where teachers can be successful.
Seems like food is so basic.
It should be basic. It should be the basic expectation of everyone in a civilized society, and yet 1 out of 5 families in Athens woke up this morning not sure if they were going to be able to put food on the table.
That is a stat you really don't want to hear. It's very sobering.
Right.
And Ovita, what would you say to help address some of the concerns of the children in poverty in the school system?
One of the things, again, I really strongly believe in collaboration across the board and intersection. When Dr. Means came on board as a superintendent, I just took it on myself to introduce him to as many programs and groups that were working with our kids, because we've been working in silos. None of our kids that graduate from high school graduate, go to college, because the only interaction or only education they had is when they went into that school building. They played on a softball team. They belonged to an organization, their churches. One of the things I would like, and I hope I see it before I leave the school board, a real relationship between the district and the people who do what they do day in and day out and sacrifice for our kids to give them that extra exposure. I can just rattle off some names of people who are taking our kids on trips, who are exposing them to learning activities. But the problem that I see is not the verbal message, it's the visual message. When they got to still go back home, and they go back to a home with no food, mm-hmm. or an abusive household, or a mom that's working two jobs, everything that they've learned seems to just stop at the front door. You cannot nurture kids and then they go back to the environment and not see a little bit of pushback and letdown. I've been working in Bethel Homes since 2009, just doing community work. And they are some good people over there. They have all these negative stereotypes. Most of those mothers, when we were out canvassing during the week, you know why they weren't answering the doors? Because they were working. And people do not know that half the parents, half the mothers over there do work. Mm-hmm. And many of them work two jobs. So how do you get to nurture your kids when you are working? So you see kids taking on that responsibility, some in good ways and some in not so good ways. I would really like to see a community that will embrace everybody where they are. And I think we're getting there. I think what we are proposing with the commission is a paradigm shift. We just can't do business the way we've been doing it and then expect that poverty rate won't change. We have great opportunities to do some things, but we've got to stop working in silos, and the people who are most affected by poverty, we need to listen to them.
Switching gears a bit, there are a lot of beautification projects in the works. It seems like the lion's share may go to the west side. Mm-hmm. What would you say about your district and projects that may need to be done or beautification efforts? Do you see the district getting its fair share, or do you think more resources could be allotted to that? And I'll let you go first, Tommy.
Okay, well, this is, as I think is a constant theme on this show, an area that Evita and I probably agree with each other a lot, which is, you know, once you get outside the loop in Athens, it's technically Athens-Clarke County, but they've been left out. And so there's entire sections that have no sidewalks, that have no sewage, that have no lights, a forgotten group of people. And so I think beautification is important. I think functionality is important. I think if you want to walk from J.J. Harris down the road, there should be a sidewalk there. We shouldn't have kids walking in the gutters and in the ditches. So I think that's a part of what beauty looks like to me, is a functional district. I will also say that the Department of Transportation statistics show that North Avenue and Highway 29, both together, are the next big corridor into Athens. We should be looking at that area, mm-hmm. the way we looked at 316 20 years ago. And the care to which we treat that area is going to determine whether we have a roaring economy, whether we have good employers, whether we have a beautiful corridor into Athens, or whether we have one long strip mall, which is what looks like on so many corridors around Georgia. So, I think that whether it's Evita or myself, we're going to fight like heck to make sure that when you're coming in from the Madison County line through our district, that you have a beautiful district, but also one that's safe for children and families.
I'll just ditto that. I won't take time to say something different on that. I think that even going out towards on 72, mm-hmm. It's gorgeous out there. It is gorgeous out there. I normally probably would not be out there except I was canvassing. But their concerns are about as the infrastructure expands, which it is, it has to. I think the new Kroger is like a magnet. I mean, it's huge out there. But did we take in consideration traffic? I understand now the traffic is a lot more congested for some reason. They also do not have water hookups out that far in that beautiful subdivision. They're all on septic tanks that are old. Mm-hmm. The neighborhood is beautiful. But as we expand, even those areas that are beautiful, we have to make sure that we have a plan for infrastructure and development, paved streets. We've got to make sure that people are feeling good, because if the whole community grows up and those folk who have lived in these little communities, they're going to be left out. And that's what I'm sensing. We're growing up, but we are not involving the folk that have been there 20, 30 years. We're not including them in some of these decisions. The one other thing I would like to do, and this is not my idea, so I will borrow anybody's idea. But in Pinewood, which is our Hispanic community, it would be so easy to do a walk or bike trail,
yes,
from Pinewood to J.J. Harris. That would save the school district some money. It would give those families like some good feeling when their kids could just walk through, go to school where they go to school. The whole issues around, we have to let our immigrant families know how much we care. That would be a huge collaboration between local government and the school district, which would benefit families.
And Tommy, I see you are nodding your head about supporting our immigrant community. We don't have much time, but
yeah, so let me ditto or ditto. As someone, you know, I'm the descendant of an undocumented immigrant. I think that we have to take so much care to our immigrants in this community. And I think that the people of Pinewoods, a lot of them, if they don't have the proper documentation, can't get a driver's license, can't drive to work, can't safely drive their kids to work or to school. So I think that the type of trail that Avita just suggested, once again, you borrowed the idea, I'll borrow the idea for the person borrowing the idea. And I'm really excited about the changes we can make in District 9 there.
Okay, I want to thank you both. That'll be the last word today. My guests are Tommy Valentine and Avita Thornton. I also want to thank WUGA interns Alex Vandenhoevel and Paul Oshinsky. To hear this show again, visit WUGA.org for a podcast. For questions or comments, visit our Facebook page. This show does not reflect the views of the station. Athens News Matters is a production of WUGA, a broadcast service of the University of Georgia. I'm Alexia Ridley.